I'm Kevin Kelly. The show is Live and Local. It's your connection to local music and more. And on the program today, I'll be talking for the hour with Peter Yarrow, who is Peter of Peter, Paul, and Mary, the great folk music iconic trio that began in the early 60s and lasted for quite some years, and they've gotten together periodically over the years. Mary passed away just a year and a half ago, complications from treatment for leukemia. And Peter and Paul are going to be performing Sunday night at Sangamon Auditorium in Springfield at 7 o'clock, a program in which it promises to hold quite a number of Peter, Paul, and Mary songs, and some others as well. Peter Yarrow, a very interesting guy to talk to. He is not only a musician, but also a political activist who has his own group called Operation, or project really, called Operation Respect, which you can hear about in this conversation. And if for those of you who heard my promo of the show over the last day, or maybe saw it on our website, I did mention that I would be talking with a member of the Sound Celebration Chorus, which is one of the ensembles involved in a musical extravaganza, primarily choral music extravaganza, tomorrow night, also in Springfield at the Hoagland Center for the Arts. And because of the length of the interview with Peter Yarrow, and I wanted to be sure to play plenty of music as well, I'll be putting that interview and some songs by the Sound Celebration Chorus up on our web address, which is will.illinois.edu. That's will.illinois.edu. And the Live and Local page is right on the front. And you can go and hear that conversation with Sue Baker, hear about the event, which sounds like a lot of fun, and it is a benefit for the Hoagland Center, and also hear some great Sweet Adeline's barbershop-style singing. It's Live and Local on FM 90.9. We just heard a song that chances are, I would say, is 50-50 chance that you know it either as it was sung by Bob Dylan, who wrote the tune, or as it was sung by the folks you just heard, who were Peter, Paul, and Mary from 1963 from their disc called Moving, I believe. No, it was the one after that.
In the wind.
Logically enough. And the voice you just heard is that of Peter Yarrow, who is going to be joining with Noel Paul Stuckey on Sunday at Sangamon Auditorium in Springfield for a program that starts at 7 o'clock. And it's kind of billed here as a tribute to your still, it seems, recently departed compatriot Mary Travers. Is that a fair summary?
Well, you know, in a sense, there are positive aspects and negative aspects to thinking of our performance in those terms. The positive thing is that there is a terrifically powerful sense of Mary's ongoing presence in terms of what she believed in, what she cared about, what we shared together when we performed, when Noel and I performed together. And there is the importance of asserting that in the wake of her passing, the music has not lost its relevance or its power or its importance. And therefore, remembering Mary means affirming that the music continues. With that, in other words, it's not saying, oh, she's gone, and now, here, let's just disregard her. On the other hand, there's, to me, the idea of billing a concert in that way feels a little bit manipulative, because here she's been gone a year and a half, and it's as if we're capitalizing on her passing by invoking her name, and that, I think, would be tasteless and reprehensible. So that's not the intention. Inevitably, there will be a lot of Peter, Paul, and Mary songs that people will listen to, and they will realize these songs have great vitality and great meaning, not necessarily including Mary's voice. That they can have great vitality if one of us, Noel or I, sings them, or if the two of us sing them together, or if we sing them together with a bunch of people. The one thing is that people should be assured that there will never be another Mary. That would feel really weird. There are times when, I remember when Mary was ill prior to her passing, when I, for instance, she would have liked to have been a part of a gathering for Operation Respect, which is my educational effort that is now 12 years in existence. And she couldn't make it. She said, oh, I wish I could. So I called Judy Collins and I said, could you come and sing with Noel and me? And she did. And it was beautiful. But it was not Peter, Paul, and Mary. Nor was it Peter, Paul, and Mary, and in parenthesis, with Judy Collins playing the part of Mary. No, it was its own artistic entity. And it's true that sometimes my daughter, Bethany Yarrow, has sung with Noel and me. And it's something else. But the essence of what Peter, Paul, and Mary was is very well represented by the intentional, emotional, spiritual place that we share when we have a rendition of the song, no matter who is singing it, as long as they love, appreciate the song, and can share it in the context of the way in which we did historically. We sang Blowing in the Wind at the gravesite of Andrew Goodman, you know, Goodman, Cheney, and Schwerner. This was not a performance of it in the ordinary sense. This was a sacred rendition of it. And we've sung it at the March on Washington in 63. And we've sung it at the Selma Montgomery March. And we would sing it as a part, inevitably, of all our performances subsequent to our first performing it in 1963, which is when we began.
Well, and you described essentially a good chunk of the reason why I wanted to open with that song. And part of it is that you sang a lot of songs of your own creation and a lot of songs of other people's creation, including a number of Bob Dylan songs, but also because you all, particularly as you advanced in your career as an ensemble, got more and more involved politically and used music in political context, presented yourselves in political context. You want to talk about a little bit about that and how that aspect of Peter, Paul, and Mary got started?
Well, you have to realize that Mary was born and raised in, steeped in a political perspective. She was not singing songs that were apart from the life that was being espoused and the value system that was being espoused by her parents. I mean, longer and more deeply than I was. She grew up with Paul Robeson singing to her. She was a child who was affected by the progressive thinking of the time. When she was in high school, of course, there were the Rosenbergs, you know, who were executed because of the fact that they were accused and found guilty of being spies. And it was a heartbreaker for her and for so many others. I wasn't all that sophisticated about it, but she was, and she went down to Washington, I believe with her parents, and ringed the White House and sang and wept when that occurred. I think historically it turns out that one of them was indeed a spy for the Soviet Union, but it was seen in the context of the blacklist period, where so many people were accused falsely of being communist or being holding the communist perspective as their own, and with their lives destroyed by Senator Joe McCarthy. So she grew up with that music and that point of view, and she even made an album with Pete Seeger as a member of a teenage group called the Song Swappers. And Pete Seeger, of course, as we all know, was a member of the Communist Party, but in a way that was typical of the day, in which people believed in the idea of a socialist state. They believed in a dream of equality, but they were not loyal to the Soviet Union. And when the revelations of Stalin purges and the cruelty of that oppression emerged, very, very few people remained committed to the idea of communism as something that related to loyalty or identification with the Soviet Union. So Mary was the epitome of all this, and I grew up with a very progressive mom who was a school teacher, a member of a union, of the teachers' union, which was considered pretty radical at the time that she was, and a supporter of Planned Parenthood, which was also considered pretty radical. And she was a progressive, as am I. And Noel, on the other hand, did not grow up with that perspective. He grew up not really absorbed in folk music. He was much more attracted to classical music, jazz, and pop music. Even had a rock and roll group in high school called the Birds of Paradise. So when we got together, the dominant perspective between us was the one that Mary and I shared, and the great, great admiration and adoration of Pete Seeger and the kind of music that the Weavers were singing and that had been sung by people who longed for music to represent a sense of community and fairness and caring and a greater sense of equity in the world. And it was that perspective that really dominated the spirit of the way we sang. Philosophically, it didn't really enter the energy of the group until we actively lived it in the civil rights movement. And by this time, we had something that we could all agree upon, that we all felt equally strongly about. Noel certainly did, but his way of coming there was through really a middle American point of view, far less than this urban, hyper-progressive point of view that was Mary's and was mine. So once we entered that domain, we came to realize that the legacy of music as a way to energize and help create the circumstance for the changing of heart, the opening of generosity of spirit, the changing of selfishness and materialism into a we, not a me point of view, which was very much a part of what we were involved in, and the growing consciousness of the 1960s. Once that occurred, one thing led to another, and the first involvement that we had in the civil rights movement ultimately set the precedent not only for us but for the entire nation to say, when we march together, when we sing together, we can affect the course of history. We are not, we don't have to look to power and money to change the course of history. Ordinary human beings can stand up and be counted, and we can change the law of the land, in terms of civil rights. We can stop a war together, which ultimately was a result of the people's wish. We can change the way women are perceived and are included in society in a much more egalitarian way, and that still goes forward. All of that really, and the environmental movement, all of that emerged from the awakening to our capacity to be effective when we are joined together. And the most powerful binding heart force of that turned out to be, in its own way, the music itself. And so the essence of the question that you asked, which is very important, is that what motivated the group to a large degree over the years was not simply the music itself in the absence of how it related to the world around us. It was the role of the music in terms of helping the world to become a more humane, caring, and decent place. And frankly, as a postscript to that, I feel that the absence of music being shared in that way now is a huge detriment the ability of people to get out and share their commitment and feeling and assert the right, assert the decency, and not be overwhelmed by the kind of selfishness and mean-spiritedness that seems to be manifesting itself in society now in many ways. Whether it's in Madison, Wisconsin, or Ohio, or Michigan, or the lack of awareness or caring of the commercial interests of America as united with governmental perspectives, this music is needed in today's world. And forgive me for this long answer, but it was one of the topics that I really, really care deeply about.
Well, that's very clear, and we'll talk about the Operation Respect that you mentioned earlier so that people have a little bit idea of what that is about. I do want to play one of the songs that I think might fit into this context, and this is one that was on your original album, Peter, Paul, and Mary, but also has been released as a single a couple of times, called The Cruel War. And a notation here says it adapted by you and Noel, adapted from... Where?
From a traditional song. This is a very long, this is a very historically an important song that was sung 200-300 years ago in England, came over here like many songs, and when it merged, that music merged ultimately with the music of the slaves, that became the form called country music, the form called jazz, blues, ultimately rock and roll, and folk music. But this, the version that we're singing here, is very much akin to the version that was sung as the music migrated from the British Isles here to America.
And this is the second single version that was released in 1966. Peter, Paul, and Mary, and we're talking with Peter Yarrow, who is going to be joining with Noel Paul Stuckey on Sunday at 7 o'clock at Sangamon Auditorium on the campus of the University of Illinois in Springfield. And you're listening to Live and Local. The song is called The Cruel War, adapted by Peter Yarrow and Noel Paul Stuckey, and of course sung here by Peter, Paul, and Mary. We're talking with Peter of PP&M, who is going to be joining with Paul of PP&M on Sunday evening, at the Sangamon Auditorium in Springfield. And this is Live and Local. You know, I have maybe an obvious question here. How did Noel Stuckey get to be called Paul for the sake of your group? I mean, everybody, you all know him as Noel.
Yes, we did. That Albert Grossman, when we were looking for names for the group, the tradition in folk at that point was to call yourself kind of a symbol of something that had to do with hand-wrought something. And that was my idea for the group. Well, there was the Weavers, there were the Journeymen, there was, the Limelighters, We were thinking of a name for the trio, and I was thinking of the Willows, because we were all thin and, slender, and we would we had that aspect. And Albert came in and he said, you know that song, I was born about 10,000 years ago? He says, I was born about 10,000 years ago, and there's nothing in this world that I don't know. I saw Peter, Paul, and Moses playing Ring Around the Roses, and I'm with the guy that says it isn't so. So he said, we should call the group Peter, Paul, and Mary. And Peter, Noel, and Mary didn't have that same ring. It just had a wonderful sound. And in those days, it was very common to chain, if you're going into the world of professional theater or singing, it was very common, particularly in acting, to change your name to something that had a kind of a universal appeal. I mean, the first name that I heard that would have been a good one to change, according to that old formula, was Garfunkel. I mean, who in the world would say, all right, this is Artie Garfunkel? Well, now, of course, that's not done anymore. As a matter of fact, it's considered interesting to have, and attractive to have, an odd name of that sort. But
then again, you do have artists who call themselves Lady Gaga, for example.
Well, there you go. And so it's kind of gone wild. Well, Bobby Dylan was Bobby Zimmerman,
I want to play another Peter, Paul, and Mary song that I've always thought was a great deal of fun. I don't know that there's any political connotation to this. Maybe you can correct me, because I can't think of one. And this one is called The Fox. And I'm looking here to remember which of the original albums this came from.
That was a children's television show. Oh, no. It was either on Peter, Paul, and Mommy, which was a children's album that we did in the late 60s, or a television show called Peter, Paul, and Mommy 2, T-O-O, also. That I know we did that in concert on that television show for PBS, which was our second television show. And we made... It was very cute because he made noises in it. We would do this noise. I don't know if you can hear this. So we would do that noise and other noises, and we did it just turned into a charming story. I sing it now in a particular kind of way where it really is a very interactive song with family audiences. That's a lot of fun, and I enjoy the heck out of it in that way. But it was just a story that there's nothing political about it, but it is interesting that in this song the song is rooting for the fox. It's very sympathetic and indulges the perspective of the fox and makes kind of fun of the farmer and the farmer's wife. Old Mother Flipper-Flopper jumped out of bed. Out of the window, she popped her head, crying, John, John, the gray goose is gone, and the fox is on the town, oh. And so it's interesting, but it's that kind of poking of self-humor, self-created humor, that gives one kind of a perspective when one goes through life with certain fears. Of course, farmers were afraid of foxes that would steal the geese and the ducks and their livestock would be attacked. And so this song kind of reflects that kind of humor that I think it would be hard for that song to be written now, because people really don't tell stories now the way they did then, way before mass media occurred. So this is truly a dyed-in-the-wool traditional song, again, adapted and arranged by Peter, Paul, and Mary.
And I did find the reference here. This particular version is a live one. It does come from Peter, Paul, and Mommy 2 in 1993.
The
Fox. We're talking with Peter Yarrow on Live and Local.
Oh, the fox went out on a chilly night. Pray for the moon to give him light. For him, many a mile to go that night. Bones, oh, they never had such a supper in their life. And the little ones chewed on the bones, oh.
That was called The Fox with Peter, Paul, and Mary, and a live performance from 1993. Peter and Paul are going to be at the Sangamon Auditorium on Sunday evening at 7 o'clock. That's in Springfield. Noel Paul Stuckey with Peter Yarrow. And I'm sure you heard lots of, Peter has already said you'll hear lots of Peter, Paul, and Mary songs. And that, you know, there's one of the songs I knew I wanted to play before I was talking with you, because I saw the video. And in fact, I'm pulling all these CDs from a wonderful collection. It's a 4-CD and 1-DVD collection called Peter, Paul, and Mary Carry It On. And the DVD was of the same name, I think, isn't it?
Yes. The DVD is the television show Carry It On, which kind of follows our musical career along with a commentary about those causes that we embraced.
Well, in this DVD, there is a wonderful segment in which Mary, the current Mary at the time of the show, is singing to, I gather, her granddaughter.
Yes, she's singing a song that she had recorded in our earliest years as a solo, called For Baby, For Bobby. It was originally, her story is that she, when she approached John Denver, and he said, well, who is it for? You know, and she said, well, that's for Bobby, you know, my girlfriend. And he said, gee, it sounds like a song for a child. You know, do you mind if I call it For Baby? You know, I'll cling to the warmth of your tiny hand. I'll say, do everything that you do. I mean, she really, and he said, okay, go ahead. And it became really identified with Mary, who had sung the song Leaving on a Jet Plane. It became a huge national hit. And actually, as Blowing in the Wind became the way that America found out about Bobby Dylan, when it was a huge hit, in the same way America found out about John Denver from Leaving on a Jet Plane and another song, For Baby, For Bobby. But in this case, it was part of the television show, and she took her granddaughter, who was at the time, I think, about 7 or 8 years old, and held her in her lap and rocked her and sang, I'll walk in the rain by your side, I'll cling to the warmth of your tiny hand. I'll do anything to make you understand. I'll love you more than anybody can. And the wind, etc., etc. You'll hear her sing it. But it's a part of the family of folk music now, and a very tender, tender, beautiful song.
I'll walk in the rain by your side. I'll cling to the warmth of your tiny hand. I'll do.
has called for Baby for Bobby, sung by Mary Travers, the late Mary Travers, gone about a year and a half now. And we're talking with Peter Yarrow, who's going to be joining with the Noel Paul Stuckey, also of Peter, Paul, and Mary, of course, on Sunday evening at Sangamon Auditorium in Springfield. You know, I was intending to start this whole conversation by just simply saying what I'm sure many people who have interviewed you over the years say, which is something like, you know, I grew up listening to your music. In my case, my parents had several of these LPs, and I've always really liked them, and I didn't get to take any of them with me. And so I'm so glad that I ended up somehow or another found this CD collection. But just listening to all these songs has taken me back, you know, a long time. I can't exactly say I remember exactly where I was when I heard X or Y song from Peter, Paul, and Mary, but I do know that I was a child. And, you know, that gives your music a sort of meaning for me. And it didn't have the political meaning for me, because even some of the songs that do have a political meaning then and still do now, Blowing in the Wind, If I Had a Hammer, and many others, Where Have All the Flowers Gone, you can experience them simply as music if you want. But as you pointed out...
Exactly. That's true. And frankly, it is the context of the understanding of how the events relate to these songs that gives them a particular meaning. We've found that singing the songs at different times gives them very different interpretive shades of meaning. They live in different ways. For instance, when I was in Madison, Wisconsin, singing to 100,000 people, I was singing Blowing in the Wind and If I Had a Hammer. But there, we weren't talking about civil rights. We were talking about fairness in government and talking about the appropriateness of a law that would take away the prerogative of workers to band together to negotiate for fair wages and fair working conditions, which was the whole essence of the union movement and the attempt to eliminate that from unions, which are now primarily not in the corporate sector, but in the public sector, was an attempt to roll the clock back and to a large degree, effectively, for a variety of reasons, destroy one of the very important strengths of what has made America very special in many ways, that there is a parity that has been fought for a long time between the power of a entity that is focused on making money, the corporate entity, or saving money, or cutbacks, or whatever, and the voice of those who are affected by such decisions.
It's sort of hard for me to figure out what song I'd like to end with in talking with you. I did say I wanted to, and I'll think about that as I give you a chance to talk for just a couple minutes about your organization that you referred to very early in this conversation called Operation Respect, which has become a huge part of your life, it seems. Tell folks what that's about.
Well, Operation Respect is really the culmination of a lot of years of work in the movements. But this Operation Respect refers to inculcating in children a sense of respect for one another so that they treat each other in ways that allow each child to be who that child is, rather than saying, oh, you're the wrong color, you're the wrong background, you're the wrong religion, you can't play with us. The kind of bullying and emotional violence that goes on in our world needs to be interrupted. The cycle of it is pretty rugged, pretty terrible. And about 12 years ago, my mother, being an educator, I was aware of the fact that there was a terrible increase in the amount of violence and bullying in the world. And in order to address it, you don't address it as a head-on, as an entity in and of itself. It's only a symptom of disrespect. It's not something that exists on its own. You can't put a metal detector in a school and eliminate the mean-spiritedness or the desire or the inclination to bully. You cannot simply suspend a child from school because they've bullied another child and expect it to go away. What you have to do is you have to create an environment in which that kind of behavior is just not acceptable. And not only is it not acceptable, but it is looked upon as being, by consensus among the kids, reprehensible. And that needs you to create a loving, caring environment. And it so happens that singing songs in the way in which folk music is sung is a building block, as it was in the civil rights movement and all the other movements, of creating a sense of community and unanimity of spirit. So what I did was I took a song called Don't Laugh at Me, which is our anthem and was discovered by my daughter, and I combined it with other songs, and together it was married to curricula that had been developed by Educators for Social Responsibility over a long period of time, and that became a tool called the Don't Laugh at Me program that is currently used in 22,000 schools across America. And we're in Israel, in Arabic, and in Hebrew, in schools there. We're in schools in Ukraine actually. That's recent. We've been in Hong Kong for over 6 years. We've been in Croatia. We're in South Africa. We just made a trip to Turkey to go there. And we're working with the United States government. The embassies are supporting us and funding us. And we started working with the Peace Corps. Because in countries like, for instance, Ukraine, there's a huge contingent of Peace Corps volunteers, and we trained over 200 of them because they're going into the schools to teach. And this becomes the component of the education that is used in the United States as well, that addresses teaching, well, I call it teaching of education of the heart as opposed to education of the intellect of children. And that, I believe, if we give kids the tools, we'll stop the cycle of mean-spiritedness and cruelty by giving kids at an early age an option other than following the lead of adults. When you watch these TV shows, these reality TV shows, you see adults acting out and scoring points for being really mean to each other. Or alternatively, demonstrating how dysfunctional they have become. So, you know, saying, oh, look, there's Paris Hilton, and now how, you know, I mean, there is, it's one thing to be tasteless. It's another thing to be self-destructive and cruel to others. And if you see somebody on a Jerry Springer show, for instance, punching his mother-in-law in the mouth or attempting to do so, you and you're a child. You take that into your tender years and you interpret it in ways that allow you to think that that's acceptable behavior. The adults are doing it. We have to turn the corner and eliminate that kind of mindset, that kind of heart space, and instead substitute a heart space of giving and caring amongst kids. And this program, which is free, and you go to the website www.operationrespect.org and you download the program for free, and you can, or you send away, and courtesy of McGraw-Hill, you'll be sent the materials. You just sign on. We have over 100,000, you know, that have been given away free, and you can duplicate it for others if you want. And I think it's important for us to realize how powerful a tool music can be to generate a caring and a love among kids. And when you hear me doing the concert with Noel, in a way, that is doing what kids are doing in classes all over the world. They're listening to and sharing the music that brings their hearts together so that when they sing, they're far less likely to turn to their neighbor and say, "Oh, I don't like you. You wear funny clothes. You eat stupid foods, and you think you're pretty or beautiful or ugly or whatever," and dismiss them. We have to learn to accept each other.
And that's actually, I think, a fitting end to our conversation. You know, I'm looking at the Wikipedia entry on Peter Yarrow, and it lists in the sidebar occupation: singer, songwriter, guitarist, record producer, but it leaves out humanitarian. And it's clear that that has been in a substantial aspect of your life since you sang your first note, probably. And you're still singing about it.
Well, I thank you. And it's been, I approached this interview with a sense that we would talk about things in depth rather than in little, you know, tidbits like on many, many shows. And I appreciate the opportunity to speak about things with my whole heart and just rant on for a while because that gives me the opportunity to really present my point of view and for people to accept it or reject it as they so desire. But at least I've been allowed by you, Kevin, to share my thoughts and my feelings, and I appreciate that enormously.
Well, we're going to go out with a song that, again, as far as I can tell, it's fairly free of political import, and you can uplift people just by singing fun and happy songs, and this is, as well. And this comes from the Peter, Paul, and Mary disc, A Song Will Rise, having trouble reading here, 1965, and Jesse Fuller's tune called San Francisco Bay Blues.
Well, that is a fun song. There is no political meaning in that, except somehow there is something that resonates in human terms when we enjoy music intergenerationally and across boundaries. There is always a very powerful impetus for creating a more caring society. So even singing Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star is in its own sense an act of yes, we are together if you sing it with a common heart.
And it's Peter Yarrow who will be joining with Noel Paul Stuckey Sunday evening at 7 o'clock at Sangamon Auditorium at the University of Springfield. For more information on that concert and the other concerts offered there, go to uis.edu/Sangamon Auditorium. Peter, Paul, and Mary here on Live and Local on FM 90.9, San Francisco Bay Blues. And again, it's Peter Yarrow and Paul Stuckey at Sangamon Auditorium in Springfield, Sunday evening at 7 o'clock. Our program today is made possible with support from the Danville Symphony Orchestra, presenting Flamenco Fire with guitarist Robert Michaels this Saturday at 7:30 p.m. in the Danville High School Auditorium. Music includes Gershwin's Cuban Overture and Michaels' Flamenco selections. More information is available from the Symphony Office at 443-5300. We also have support from World Harvest International and Gourmet Foods in the corner of 6th and University in Champaign, providing Champaign-Urbana with a wide array of foods from around the world, including cheeses, olives, spices, hot sauces, olive oils, and more. World Harvest invites you to join them in supporting public radio. And we have support from the Corkscrew Wine Emporium, 203 North Vine, Urbana, with wines for the serious collector to the first-time buyer. Wine tastings are held on Saturdays from 2 to 6 p.m. in the Bouvon Wine Bar. This Saturday's tasting features Lee Mabry of the Cream Wine Company with a lineup of their wines from around the world. More information is at thecorkscrew.com. Here are some other events you can go out and see and hear live in our listening area. It's La Callisto, Cavalli's opera at the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts in Urbana tonight and tomorrow at 7:30 and a 3 o'clock matinee on Sunday. Multicultural concert with percussion and choirs at the Dvorak Concert Hall in Charleston from Eastern Illinois University. That's tonight at 7:30. University of Illinois Philharmonia performs at the Krannert Center tonight at 7:30. Sean Colvin is at the Bloomington Center for the Performing Arts tonight at 7:30. The Light in the Piazza at the Station Theater continues tonight and tomorrow at 8 o'clock. And I have to tell you, I saw it last night. It is a wonderful show. Into the Woods is at the Champaign-Urbana Theater Company, Parkland College Theater in Champaign tonight and tomorrow at 7:30, and a matinee tomorrow as well, and I'll be seeing that show tonight. Latin Jazz Percussion at Indicator at Lock, Stock, and Barrel tonight at 5:30. And tomorrow, It's All Done with Mirrors with Anthony Zerbe at Sangamon Auditorium in Springfield. That's tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. And we mentioned the Danville Symphony, Bossa Nuevo at the Red Herring Coffee House in Urbana. That's tomorrow night at 9 o'clock. Lots of University of Illinois jazz ensembles performing. You can check the Krannert Center website for those. And I think we're going to have to leave it at that. And you can listen to a feature about tomorrow evening's concert in Springfield called A Musical Extravaganza at the Hoagland Center for the Performing Arts. And that is going to be up on our website on the Live and Local page. Go to will.illinois.edu. You're listening to Illinois Public Media 90.9. WINL-FM and HD1 and HD2 Urbana with translators W266AF Urbana and W293AF Danville. We're a member-supported service of the College of Media at Illinois. I'm Kevin Kelly for Live and Local. Thanks for listening.
Because of